the last 10 minutes circling around trying to find a whiteboard on wheels, and I found one. And I was about to roll it down the hallway because I was going to use a whiteboard tonight. I like to use whiteboards. I like to write on whiteboards. And I started to erase the back, and there was like drills on it. And I think it was for the volleyball team. And so I started to do it, and I had this thing like, don't do that. Like, don't erase their workout. Like, who knows if they're supposed to use this or not use it? I was like, but no one would know. And I'm like, you're going to go speak to volleyball players who are going to know. And I thought, well, how duplicitous of it would be to come up here and speak to it anyway. I just want you to know that I just had this moment with God, like, where I was having a conversation about should I or shouldn't I, who's really going to care. I took a picture of the whiteboard because I was going to redraw it after I used it, but then I just put it back and said forget about it. So what I need for you to keep me straight, there's three things that I just want to highlight tonight. One is our name. Two, so remember that. First thing is what?
Our name.
Second thing, I want to talk about image and likeness. Which is Imago Dei, we are created in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, let us create mankind in our image. And then it says, in our likeness, and then it goes on and it says, and so they created him in their image, Imago Dei. So I want to talk about image and likeness. So image and likeness, can you guys remember that, image and likeness? And then I just want to breathe with you guys for a moment. Which sounds weird. And it's going to be, okay? We're just going to breathe together again. So those are the three things. Before I start, though, I have here, last year, I published a book. I'm an author. I published a book, and it's for student-athletes. A few years ago now, I've been the chaplain for the Cal football team for about a decade, and I found that in being the chaplain, over and again, I was having the same conversations. Every year, I have the same five or six conversations every year. And so I decided 1 year, 4 years ago, to just start writing them down, and so I wrote a devotional. And I gave it to the student-athletes, and they seemed to like it. And there was a coach who was connected to a publisher who said, let's write this book, let's put it together. So I wrote this book, it's called No Matter What, The Art of Going For It, and it's a really readable book. I know you guys are at Cal, you have a lot of reading assignments, you don't need one more book to read. I know some of you may not enjoy reading in general. And so what this is 100 daily meditations, 100 devotionals. And I wrote it in such a way that you could read each one in hopefully under 2 minutes. And you just read one, shut the book, go on with your day. Read one, shut the book, go on with your day. And they're centered around the 10 conversations I have all the time with student athletes. I gave a bunch of these away last year. If you already have one, you're welcome to take one. I only brought like 25 copies though. And I think there's more than 25 people. So if you already have a copy, don't take one. But they're over here if you want them. After I speak in this box right here, so I'll just let you guys know. Final disclaimer, and then it's going to be a short message, I hope, I promise. That's right. It's going to be a short message, okay? Not that that's important. But, so I just left my wife with the kids over dinner. I didn't just leave my wife. That came out way wrong. I just left my wife. We just had dinner, and we have now 3 kids. So this time last year, I spoke here at AAA, and we were just about to adopt our second son, Judah. And we have a son by birth and then now a son by adoption. And it was just after Easter, so a couple months back, a few months ago this year, that we got a phone call from the county of Contra Costa County saying, hey, Judah's birth mom had another kid. Do you want her too? And we were blown away. We were like, I was like, nope. Like, we ain't got room in our house. We don't have room in our car. We don't have room in our budget. But I'm sure, maybe. And my wife was like, yes. And then it switched. I turned into like a yes, and my wife started to see, and she's like, wait a minute, this is a no. But anyway, I say all that to say, we said yes, and for the last 6 weeks, we've had this little baby girl, and she's gorgeous, and she's beautiful, and she's my daughter, which is just, it blows my mind. But the reason I bring this up is we have 2 crazy, rambunctious little boys, and then we have the sweetest, calmest, she sleeps through the night already, eats, smiles at everybody. I'll show you pictures. I have my phone here, so I'll show you pictures afterwards. We'll see Nova. Her name's Nova. And the reason I bring this up is because in the Celtic tradition, in the Celtic Christians, 1st, 2nd, 3rd century, they had this belief that when a new child was born in the tribe, in the local area, that when you held that child in your arms and you looked into that child's eyes, it was as if you were looking in the eyes of God, freshly born among you. And it was this beautiful picture, this beautiful image that before this child has done anything to prove him or herself, before this child has done anything right or done anything wrong, before this child has made a name for him or herself, before they failed and suffered and dealt with what life brings us, this child's name is already beloved. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes and he says that there is nothing anywhere in all of creation. There is no height, if you can imagine the highest height that you've ever been to, whether it be in a plane or on a mountain. Think about the heavens. There is no depth. Perhaps you've gone under the earth. Perhaps you've experienced trauma, loss, pain. There is neither height nor depth, angels nor demons. There is nothing in all of creation. There is nothing that can separate us from the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus. And it's really easy and actually warming and beautiful for me to hold my baby girl Nova and remember that. Because I love her. I don't even know this person, and I'm all in. And if you held her, I'm guessing that the majority of us, maybe some of you, maybe not, I don't know. Maybe you're not into babies. But if you held her and you just looked into her eyes, you would say, there's something right here. And this is how you know when something is true. You don't need someone to teach you truth. The truest things I say, you know already. And my best messages, my best talks, are those where I just say what you already experientially, mystically, the mystical knowledge is experiential knowledge. This innate authority, inner authority as the scriptures call it. You know it already, and if I say it, you say, oh yeah, that's true. And I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what you came in here from, where we're all gonna leave here individually and go do. But my guess is there's plenty of accomplishments in the room. Plenty of things that we're just so dang excited that happened. I was talking to somebody when I came in. Apparently the volleyball team's doing really well so far this season. You guys are scoring, which is great. A lot of points. That's what they had said. I don't know. I haven't been to a volleyball game. I'll go to one. I'll go to one. Yep. Carmen is scoring a lot of points, which is great. That's an accomplishment. Maybe some of you guys, Maybe some of you guys came in here tonight and you just had the best day of your life at Cal. You met somebody, he was kind of into you, we'll talk later. Or you did really good on that exam, or you just, that paper was, it's done, you're completed, you have something to hang your hat on. Others of you come in this room tonight and you're sitting in this chair and you're in the midst of an injury and you're in rehab. And you're just having to go to the training room and you're having to grind it out. While all your teammates and every reason you thought you came to Cal, they're doing that, but you're in your own world, having to fight your own battle, and it is just freaking hard. Or maybe he's not into you anymore. Or she broke up with you last month, and you're still in that place. And this is what I would call not those things that are accomplishments, but these things that we suffer. These pains we have to go through. And then there's still so many, whether you fall, like I have a lot of accomplishments or I have a lot of pain, things I'm struggling through. Every single one of us in the room has things that we do, roles that we play, hats that we wear. It was funny. You called me author. I'm sorry, I don't know who announced me. Oh yeah, you said author, right? And it was like, you know, like, okay, that's interesting to hear. Because I don't think of myself as an author. I think of myself as like Kevin. Maybe I think of myself as dad. But author, I'm like, yeah, I wrote a book, yeah. You know, right? But now I have to wear that mantle. So I'm going to give you books, and I hope you like it. You can be like, author, my butt. Yeah, right, he's not an author. But there's so many roles that we, like, we're son, we're daughter, we're brother, we're sister, we're boyfriend, we're football player, we're volleyball player, we're student-athlete, we're student, we're top of our class, we're the pride of our hometown, we're all these different things. And what I just want to start with tonight is if we are going to talk about Imago Dei, if we're going to see what the scriptures teach, that before we wear any of those hats, before we wear and we brand ourselves as failure or in pain or suffering or accomplished or author or whatever it is, there is a name that is truer than all of those names. And that is the name of Beloved. And it's from this place, that you wake up every day and live your day. It's not from the accomplishments. It's not from the failures. And it may feel like that. It will feel like that. Especially, you know what it's like to be on top of the world. And you know what it's like to have a really, a shitty day. And you know what it is to like feel that viscerally. And what I'm saying to you right now is that's not your first name. Your truest identity is that of Beloved. And that's what this says. And so the two words, I was going to say image and likeness. So in the Hebrew, there's two words. The first one is salam. Did you guys talk about this? Have you guys gone through and dealt with the Hebrew yet? So the word for image is salam. Can we say salam?
Salam.
Salam literally means image, which is appropriately translated in the English as the image of God, Imago Dei, right? But it means a replica of. And what this basically means is that you all, myself included, we are created as a replica, an exact duplicate of the image or essence of God. And that essence of God, if I had the whiteboard, I'd be drawing stuff right now. But that essence of God is love. And so the reason that I can say with confidence that you are beloved, the reason I can quote either Romans 8 or any number of other passages, I can read the whole letter of 1 John and just speak from chapter 4 and talk about how God is love and we are loved and that is our truest identity and that's what we should live from. God is love and your essence is love and you are, without even trying, you are beloved and you are capable of loving. You are beloved and you are capable of loving. That's what Imago Dei means. It means that if you are creating the image of God, you were created from love. And you were beloved. And you yourself are capable, always ever capable, of a knowledge of God, a participation with God, by just choosing to love. That's all 1 John, basically. If you want to know God, anyone who's ever loved, has experienced God, I mean, just go, you can go and just trust me. Don't trust me, go read it. Go read 1 John. But if you just participate in love, you have some knowledge of your original identity. Now the second word, likeness, comes from the Hebrew word, I'm gonna look at it right here, because I wrote it down. Demuth. Demuth, everybody say demuth.
Demuth.
And it's this word that we get likeness from. But it's not something that's inerrant. Creating the image of God is not something that we just wake up into. If image of God is inerrant, demuth, or our likeness, is a choice we make. And so in order to, and I don't know where you guys are going to go in talking about creating the image of God, but we all have the capacity for love because we're beloved, because we've been loved. But we choose to love. And when we do that, we're actually living in God's likeness. Image is something God gives no matter what. Likeness is something we wake up and have to choose ourselves in order to participate in. And this is, I don't know where we're going to go or where you're going to go with this series this semester. But this is where we actually get to give back to God, step into with God, participate in the life of God, and experience the transformation that is the gospel. To know what it is, to not just wallow in the names of accomplishment, defeat, and the hats and roles we wear, but to kind of like, in the midst of all that, join God by being like Him, by choosing to love other people, by doing what it is that He invites those who, He didn't say, worship me. He didn't say, believe in me. He didn't say, go to church and honor me. No, He said, follow me. And when we follow Jesus, this is what we do. I have a 4.5-year-old son. He's almost 5. His name is Xander. He's our oldest. And we're trying to introduce Xander to what and who God is. And what we're not doing is waking up and teaching him the 4 spiritual laws. At least not yet. We're not working through exegeting the book of Hebrews. He's too young for that, right? Like, he's like, he wouldn't be into that, you know? We do have like a little Bible book where we read stories at night and we pray, you know, before every meal and then we go to bed. We say things we're grateful for and people we want to pray for. But one thing that we've been trying to do and aiming to do is to enter into this idea that, yeah, Xander, you are beloved no matter what. But Xander, we get to know God by entering into this identity of likeness, like to join in and join God by being like God. And so what we've done is, about every other month, we go to Target and we take all our kids and we go, not for us, and we just buy stuff for other people. And what it's turned into is these things we call blessing bags. And I think this would be a great exercise for you guys to go do. Take some of that, I don't know how much money you guys have as college students. I was going to like, take some of that extra cash, and I stopped myself like, wait a minute. Even those of you guys on a scholarship check, we're not in the middle of Washington State. That scholarship check doesn't go as far as it does there. Have you guys ever griped about that? That's a whole other deal. Let's not talk about that. It's expensive in Berkeley. I know how it is. But anyway, we go, we buy probably 2 or 3 boxes of Ziploc bags. We buy, you know, 40 or 50 water bottles. We buy a bunch of socks. We buy some hand sanitizer. We buy little peanut butter cracker, you know, in the 6-pack things. And we buy all this stuff, sunscreen. And then we just pack them up. And we make these things we call blessing bags. And then we just load up the back of the car. And we go on a trip every, you know, after we go to Target. We'll go that afternoon. And we'll either go to People's Park or we'll go somewhere around Oakland where we live. And we'll just go, and Xander will roll down the window, and he'll say, hey, hey. And people will walk up, you know, and he's like, can I give you a bag? And I always ask him, because this is really important, ask him what their name is, Xander. Because so many people, when you help them, at least in my experience, you're just like, here you go, and here you go, and you just move on. But I think people want to, they just want to be called what their mother called them. They just want to be named and seen. That's a whole other message. But anyway, so he asks them what their name is. He says, I'm Xander. Have a blessed day. And Xander loves this. And then we leave about 10 or so bags in the car. And whenever we're driving, because if you're driving in Berkeley, you always see someone at a stoplight or something. And we always have a bag there. We roll down the window. But this is our way of discipling our children. This is our way of saying, yes, you're creating the image of God. No matter where you go or what you decide to do with your life, Xander, you're always welcome at our dinner table. You are beloved. And if you want to participate in that love, if you want to join God in that love, if you want to be experience the transformation God invites us into, then be like-minded and be about other people. Give love away. So we talked about names, talked about image and likeness. And then the last thing, what did I say? We're going to breathe together. And before I get there, can I share? I have a lot of kids right now, and I'm full of kid stories. Can I share a kid story? So maybe you'll resonate with this. So it was 2 weekends ago, maybe 3 weekends ago. We have a big yard, and it's 2 lots, and we have a big open backyard. We have chickens, we have raised beds, we have rabbits. It's like an urban farm in Oakland, kind of Berkeley, kind of Emeryville. We call it Berklandville. It's right there where they all come together. And so some people from our church, one lady is pregnant. She's about to have a baby. And so they asked if they could do a baby shower in our yard, and I said, yeah, no problem. Come on back. And so there was all these kids out there, all these women out there, and I'm inside with the 2 little ones, inside the house, steering clear of the baby shower, just because I'm just staying inside the house because I don't want to be in the baby shower. And so I see Xander, he's playing with the kids outside, and I'm like, oh, cool, he's having fun. And I'm in there with Judah, who's almost 2 years old, and then little baby Nova. And Nova's starting to fall asleep, and Judah's doing fine playing with him. He likes trains right now. And Xander comes running in, he bursts open the door, and he's just weeping. And my thought, first thought as a parent is, what'd you do? Like, how'd you get in trouble? What happened? And he said something that he'd never said to me before. And I kind of knew this. I thought about it when he was born. I've thought about it from time to time. But I haven't actually experienced this because Xander is, he goes to a preschool that we know, like a small preschool. He's not in school yet. He hasn't experienced this yet. But he comes in and he says, one of the girls just told me that nobody else here likes me. And I'm not welcome here. And that I need to go away. And my heart broke. I mean, I'm not that soft as an individual, as like a man, you know. But I was I got on my knees and I wanted to cry. And I was like, oh, buddy. And he was like, yeah, nobody does like me. I shouldn't be. And I was like, well, where's this coming from? And he kept going. And he was like, you know, I'm not welcome. And I was like, shh, 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 shh. And then I looked at my son. I got down on my knee. You know, I got down here, and he's this tall. And he's standing there, and I'm kind of holding him underneath his arms. And I look into his face, and I said, Xander, buddy, you're always welcome. And he was like, really? I was like, Xander, buddy, you were kind, and you were loving. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, Xander, buddy, you were creative. and you were a good friend. I was like, yeah. I was like, Xander, buddy, you were loved no matter what.
Yeah!
And he starts hugging me really tight, but this is what I'm talking about. I'm telling Xander, I'm reminding Xander of his first name. I'm telling him that he's not even his best day, and he's definitely not that worst moment that, you know, that weekend when those girls told me he wasn't welcome there. And I think that this is what we need. I know this is what we need. I know this is what I need. This whole, I don't know how long this Imago Dei you'll spend talking about the image of God, but the invitation is for us to remember that no matter what we go through, no matter where we go, no matter how crappy you feel tonight, no matter how much Cal just falls apart and life just falls apart this semester or whatever it may be, that no one can touch your first name. And if you're like me, you wake up and you just live in fear that you don't measure up. You come to an event like this and you want people to accept you. You deal with anxiety. If you didn't today, then you did in the last hour. If you did in the last hour, maybe you did in the last few minutes. But I know every one of us wakes up every day and we need to be reminded that God created us in his image. And if that means anything, it means that your first name is beloved. And all of the other things, they're just not true. Do you know what Satan means? Satan literally means the accuser. And the only job of this figure in Scripture is to lie and to tell us what we aren't. To like remind you of your failures, of how you don't measure up, of what it is that you did to screw up and disappoint and not measure up and all that. And what God wants to do is to just wake up and remind you that I'm here. I am near. And there's nowhere you could go, neither height nor depth, nor angels nor demon, nor anything in all creation could ever separate you from the love that God has for you in Christ Jesus. And so the last thing I want us to do is I want us to breathe together. What I mean by that, the name for God in the Old Testament, it was the unspeakable name. And it was just four Hebrew letters. And I was going to draw them on the whiteboard, and I was going to look really smart when I did it. Okay, I'll just do the air here. No one's paying attention. Okay, so that's what it is. It means, it's the unspeakable word, and it's this word that we translate, there's no vowels, but we translate it as Yahweh. And the reason it was unspeakable is because God was unapproachable. And the idea of the Hebrew people and yet, the name is also, it's interesting, it's kind of a double entendre in the sense that God is unapproachable. The name is also that God is always ever with us. And it's the word we get Jehovah from, that the Lord provides and the Lord is with us. And if you actually say, and this is intentional, if you actually say in Hebrew the four letters, Yahweh, it's actually just an inhale and an exhale. It's going to be hard to say it and do it, but just, and you don't have to say Yahweh, but the idea is that when you breathe in, it's like the sound of a Yah, and then you breathe out, this Yahweh. And what's interesting about that is you, wherever you've been, wherever you go, every morning you wake up, every night before you go to bed, what are you always doing? Breathing. What else are you always doing if your breath is the name of God? You're saying God's name. And I think this is this beautiful thing that God has just given us our breath to remind us that he is ever always with us. That there's nowhere we can go to where we won't have our breath. To where we, even in the worst moments and the best, after a great victory, we're just, God is like, hey, I'm here, you know? Or when we're having a panic attack and we need to breathe into something, God is ever there too. To remind us that your first name, your truest identity, is that of loving. And so what I want us to do is I want us to close with a word of prayer. And I'm going to give you a moment. We're not going to breathe in symmetry together. It's interesting, by the way, how much the current movements there are focusing on breath. Different yoga things, meditating and paying attention to the breathing. It's this experiential knowledge that we know something's right about that. something's true about that, that God is with us in our breath. And so I just want to pause, and I'm going to breathe, and I'm going to pray over us after we spend just a few moments of silence, breathing the name of God. And I want you to remember your first name, and perhaps remember some of the other things that are lying, some of the accusations, and just say, hey, you're not welcome here, not during this breath, because God is ever with you, especially in this moment. So would you breathe with me? Would you pray with me? Lord God, I'm so grateful for the chance to speak to these student athletes and for this moment that we have to just be silent and still. I just ask that this moment where we're being present to your presence would teach us something. Would almost be like an invitation. May we be more aware of your presence in our lives. I pray for courage for everybody in this room, that if we're tempted to name ourselves something else, that our breath would bring us back to what you've named us and the image from which we live every day, the truest thing about us, that we are beloved. And no amount of shame, no amount of sin, no angel, no demon, no destination on earth, in the heavens above or the depths below, can take that away from us. May we just believe that. And may we be reminded of it with every breath we take. And so I just thank you for our breath. I thank you that we are created in your image, and may we have the courage to step up and live into your likeness as well. And may we ever know we're beloved. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.